Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to the Cubby House live episode number 2. We've done a week and now we're doing another week. You just can't keep us away from your ears.
No, but before we say our hellos, can we say thank you to the team of Hang 10 for another wonderful show of top 10 one-hit wonders this week?
I can't wait for next week. And not only because the Cubby House is on next week, but also Hang 10 is on next week.
Thank you very much, Jack. I am Cookie and...
Hello, I'm Kevin.
And I'm Jack, as Cookie said. And today is the episode called Growing Up, Growing Older, Generational Change Within the Bear Community. It's like we're a lecture series, isn't it?
Well, so is you, coming from the student's perspective, of course. I, however, will be taking a very overall view because we've got a few guests in, particularly one who I now run into quite often at work. His name is Roy. He'll be coming in and talking a little bit later about his experiences from the inception of the bear community.
We also have John Bernard Tindall, who is the current, Mr. Sydney Leather 2010. And he'll be talking to us about change within the leather community. Now, the reason why I've brought this particular topic up is because at the Mr. Australia New Zealand leather competition that happened on last Saturday, where Mark Stevens of South Australia took out the title, there seemed to be a rather expressed issue which was brought up time and time again amongst all the competitors there, and that is about refreshment, about persistence, about generational change, that people are growing older, but not enough young people coming in. That what I want to know is, what can we learn from this? Because the bear community is reaching just past its 20th year of existence, and we're not teenagers anymore, we're young adults. We're live, baby, and you know how we're live? Cunt Muncher! We've got on the show today John Bernard Tennold, who was a competitor in Mr. Australia-New Zealand leather competition. He came second, is that correct?
Yeah, I came second.
Well, I think you did a
second runner-up.
A smashing job.
Thank you very much, thank you.
Now, the reason why we brought you onto the show is because I was there in the audience and I thought that you had some fairly interesting ideas about where the leather community is going in as a direction. So could you currently describe for me the present state of the leather community?
At the moment, the leather community is still a great community to be part of, but we're not getting enough young people. And it's a real odd thing coming from over where I've been living for the last 13 years in the UK and Europe to come back home to Australia where there's just no young people. They're rare. So what I'm finding here is that the leather community is fragmenting, and a lot of the things that I was taught as a young leather man, which was about respect and about respect for the older generation and respect for each other and the brotherhood, these they're not being taught anymore.
John, what do you think the leather community actually has to offer young people coming into it?
Well, let's start with the most important thing. That's brotherhood. It's a great place to find friends and to find intellectually sound people who you can talk to about anything. But we all love what also happens in the leather community, which is the steamy hot sex. I mean, there's nothing better than being able to have sex on a level that a lot of people don't get to experience. And so, you know, you've got this brotherhood thing happening, and you've also got this sex thing happening. You've got this sexual identity and being sure of oneself. You have to be sure of oneself to be part of that leather community, otherwise you tend to be pushed to the wayside.
Do you find that the sex becomes an intimidating factor, perhaps, in encouraging younger guys and people to come into that sort of community?
Sometimes it can be. Sometimes, I mean, I get asked quite often when I'm out in my leather, how come? Why do you do it? You look sexy, you look hot, but, oh, I couldn't do that. And what would happen if I got tied up by somebody and I didn't want to do what they were doing? So, yes, there is a lot of reservation about what happens if I get into a scene that I'm not happy about. So it can put people off.
Okay, so what do you think can be done to actually attract younger people?
Well, I gave a speech, my two-minute speech, about paying things forward. And I think that it's a really important thing. When I was 18, and just to reiterate, I was gifted the mule cap that I was wearing on stage and a pair of gauntlets. Now, they were my first two leather items. And they made me feel included. I couldn't afford them. I just, you know, I was on a minimum wage job. You know, mule caps were sort of $200, gauntlets from $50 to $150. You know, it was a huge amount of money for me to actually just become involved in the leather community, just to fit in. So quite often we need to, as older leather men, look at our excessive wardrobes, and we do accumulate over time lots of pieces of leather. Sometimes we wear them once, and sometimes they become stable items, and actually pass them on to younger generations so that they feel included. It's hard to be part of a community when you look different.
Now, is this a problem which is localized to Australia, or is it an issue which is facing the worldwide leather community?
Well, the worldwide leather community is bizarre because over in Europe, there are so many young people. When I was 25, I went to a party, having a great time, and a young 18-year-old came up to me and, excuse the expression, said, "Can I suck your dick, Daddy?" For which I fell apart. And I thought, I'm only 25. How can he be calling me Daddy? But as I looked around that room, I was the Daddy. Everybody else was from 18 to sort of 20-ish. And I was the oldest person in that room. And I had to come to terms with the fact that over here, over there, should I say, there are lots of young people. And that gave me a lot of hope to think, well, maybe it's changed in Australia. When I came back 13 years later, I became the puppy again, because actually I'm still one of the youngest leather people on the leather scene in Sydney. There are a couple of young people, but as a general rule, we're a handful.
Welcome back, Bernard.
It's Jean Bernard.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I get it all the time.
So, what do you think are the consequences if this drain on, I wouldn't say drain, but this lack of renewal within the leather community continues?
Well, just like animal populations that eventually start to die out, we go onto watch lists, and eventually, you know, we need help in getting more and more of these various, you know, natural animals out there. And if the leather community and if, you know, the bear community aren't attracting the young people, we're going to end up on one of these watch lists. We're going to actually become extinct. Extinct like the dodo. And that's a sad thing, because there's just so much love within the bear community, and there's so much love within the leather community. It's one of the reasons why we wear the red heart. It's to do with the love that we show for each other. So we've got to find a way to actually attract those young people so that they can continue carrying that banner.
So you've become the representative for Sydney as Sydney Mr. Leather Bear, and you're also competing in Chicago at the International Mr. Leather Competition. What do you hope to achieve by this?
Look, if I can get a podium finish in Chicago, I will be astounded and ecstatic. But what I'm trying to bring awareness to is that we do need young blood. Young blood is essential to the sustainability of our community. There is going to be a point where, well, there's no young blood, and then and the older ones have passed, and, well, then that equals no community. There's nothing you can do when there's no one there to actually follow it on.
So, Jean Bernard, I understand that you've got a fundraiser coming up in Sydney featuring the popular cabaret artist Dean Arcuri. Could you tell us a little about this?
Yeah, I had a wonderful benefactor turn around and say to me, "I believe in you, Johnny. You've got great messages to say, and I'm going to book your plane ticket," which I was incredibly touched by. But I won't allow things like that to be gifted to me. So I've put on a fundraiser with the help of the team that supports me, and we're putting on an event called An Evening of Leather. And it's not just about leather boys and leather bears, it's about community spirit. That night is going to be a night where we bring together all parts of the community, providing that they look fabulous when they get to the door, and we're going to put on some great cabaret, some of it very twisted, some of it incredibly comical, like Dean, who's a dear, dear friend of mine from England. And for that, they're going to come in, they're going to pay their $10 entry, and hopefully win some really great prizes. We've raised $18,000 in prizes and goodwill. And it's just going to be a great night for people who don't normally experience the leather crowd to have a look and see, well, is this something that I'd like to be part of?
Okay, Jean Bernard, just before we let you go, I've got one more question. As someone wanting to get into the leather industry, or sorry, the leather community, what would my first piece of leather be? What would you advise should be the first piece of leather I buy?
Well, something that a lot of people buy is a waistcoat because it's multi-usable. But, you know, again, the leather community is largely, at times, about sex. So we want to look fabulous while we're fucking. So I would actually recommend the first piece of out-there clothing you bought is a good-fitting pair of chaps. Everybody looks great in a pair of chaps. It pulls the ass up. It makes you look incredibly sexy. And at the same time, you don't have to take anything off when you want to get down and nasty.
All right, I think we have to wrap it up here. We appreciate you coming onto the Cubby House today.
Look, thank you very much for inviting me on there. I really have enjoyed my time.
All right. If people want to find out more about your fundraiser, where can they go?
We don't have a website as such, but I can give out an email address, which is, of course, sydneymrleather2010@hotmail.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Jean Bernard. We'll be back in just a second. All right, it is currently 19 past the hour, the 23rd hour of the day, and this is the Growing Up, Growing Older, Generational Change Within the Bear Community special. We've got a theme for every show, so every show is like a special, really.
Yes, yes. If you'd like to SMS in your topic, which we're asking tonight, of what have you changed for the better in the last 20 years, you can SMS 0427 joy949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au, as Richard has done, and given us a fair good list, of which we'll just pluck out that he cannot force love.
So we had Jean Bernard just speaking about a lack of young people coming into the leather community and its ramifications leading up into the future. Now, sitting next to me, to my right-hand side, I have Roy Burns. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here.
Now, I'm feeling flustered because I've got the biggest spunk next to me.
And what's even more incredible is we spoke about redheads last week, and Roy's come in just to even out the score today.
So, Roy, do you have any comment on anything that Jean Bernard brought up?
Yeah, I do, actually. I have long held the belief that the bear community has perhaps taken the reins that the leather community held 20-odd years ago. And I think perhaps, I don't want to make this sound like they're in competition. I think they're very complementary communities. But perhaps a lot of the young guys are finding bears first, and then moving a bit into the leather, rather than before when it was just the leather community. And so I think that, you know, the bear community may be part of the problem, or it may be the solution.
Now, before we can continue, could you just tell us a bit about your experience
in the bear community?
Yeah.
I was the founder of Vic Bears 20-something years ago.
yay!
Well, no, it's not quite that long. It's probably 15 or so. 15 years ago. I can't count, can I? I was the first president and got it up off the ground. Participated in committees, president twice over a 10-year period.
So what you just said is a fairly big claim. What evidence do you have to support it?
That I think that the young people are coming to Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three young guys in front of me who have a Bear radio program. I think the future's very bright.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
No, I just think, when I go to any Bear event now, there's no lack of young guys coming along.
On that particular subject, I've got in front of me the Vic Bears Hear Me Roar report for 2010, which was a general survey of the membership of the club performed by J.A. Chapman last year. I have to declare my bias. But of the 50 people that were surveyed, 44% of those people were between the ages of... between the ages of 35 and 45, 14% being between the ages of 18 and 25, and another 14% being between the ages of 25 and 35, and 22% being between 45 and 55. So you've got a lot of age range going on.
All right, Jack, enough with the numbers. Tell us what it means.
It means is that although you've got most of our numbers weighted in people between the ages of 35 and 45, it's a bell curve we've got going on. That's the best way to describe it. Roy, let me just refer back to my question list. People change, their interests change. How do you feel as though that you've changed over the last 10 years or so? And how has the community changed? It's two questions.
Well, let's tackle the community
Kevin
bit first.
Kevin hit me.
Let's tackle the community bit first. I think the Bear community is a maturing thing. When we first got Vic Bears up and running, things like interviews on Joy and interviews in the papers of the day, we were often sort of the fringe element. We were the first 10 minutes of any interview would always be what is a bear, which used to drive us crazy because we'd want to be talking about what sort of events we're putting on, etc., what we're doing.
If you haven't heard, we did that last week. Go look at our website, which we'll tell you later on in the show.
Yeah, but we had to explain ourselves every single time.
But
now
it's the same. Things don't change.
I'm sure it's not that bad now.
No, it is. We still do it. And I've actually put a rule that we are no longer allowed to define what a bear is.
Yeah, but that's what you guys are doing. We had to define this to everybody who would listen to us back in the day. It was impossible to get press. We were the lunatic fringe. And I don't see that anymore. I see you guys on this fine program. I see great coverage of Southern Hibernation in the press every year. It's a maturing thing. We're not the freaks anymore.
So how do you feel as though your place within the queer community has changed over time?
Oh, over time, I spent 10 very dedicated years at Vic Bears. I stepped away from Vic Bears after that, to give the next president a chance and not for me to find myself sitting in the corner thinking, oh, I wouldn't have done that. But I found after about a year away that I kind of wanted to stay away for a bit. I still pop in now and then, but I've done my time. I'm kind of finding joy in other places now.
I have to ask, we've got Jack referencing his wonderful survey, a little bias there, but and we can see that, you know, most of the people are between 35 to 45. Now, when you started Vic Bears, how did you find that age range? Was it the same bell curve?
I think so. I don't think there were... I mean, I was on the younger edge of middle age then. I was 30.
30? Middle age?
Well, it's getting there.
I mean, like, some people think that's like queer scene death, but life begins at 30, man, and this is coming from a 21-year-old.
There were a lot of guys in the range that you just mentioned. I don't think there were as many younger guys involved back then as there are now. But there certainly was a big range of ages.
So how do the different age groups interact with each other while you were president?
I think, like any group, there were groups within the Bear community, groups within Vic Bears, factions, cliques, if you like, which used to drive me crazy. People used to tell us we were cliquey. I don't think we were any more cliquey than anyone else. And in fact, I think the Bears have always done a good job of trying to break that down and trying to embrace new people and make them feel included. But I think, as well as any diverse age group can interact, I think we did very well. And from what I've observed, I think it's still happening.
All right, thank you, Roy, for joining us on the program. You're welcome to stay with us in the studio for the next half an hour. It is currently 27 minutes past the hour. What's coming up, Cookie?
You're on The Cubby House, Kevin, Cookie and Jack. Now, we are talking about generational changes in the bear community, and we were just off-air just talking about how we've kind of changed. And I just mentioned I came out as gay many, many years ago, and I recently came out as bear, or actually explained what bear was to my parents. And I actually played them a track by Kendall, a very famous American bear artist, and he actually has a song called Bears. Go up and look it up on YouTube.
It's camp.
It is very camp, but it explains bears really, really well. And Kevin, I hear you have a wonderful tale to tell about your experience.
You're really going to make me do this, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. I recently also came out to my parent, also my mum, as Bear. She happened to read a couple of my Facebook updates and has taken to calling me her little teddy bear.
Oh, that's so cute.
Anyone that's met me would know how very uncute that is.
Yes, but it's that vibe that you send off that it makes people want more. You're like the anti-hero that everybody loves. Like Draco, the guy that played Draco Malfoy was in town for Supernova, and all those Harry Potter fangirls were wet, wet, wet for him.
And enough of your erotica there, Jack.
Thank God.
Damn it, it's not coming out.
I thought that might be a new track for our Listener of the Week episodes.
What was that?
It's a little mix I made up ages ago for the podcast when we had feedback, but I thought, no, that might actually just suit just for this once. This week, however, we do have a guy by the name of Matt, also a ringer by the point of fact.
I'm being surrounded by them. They're stalking me.
We will assault you with bleach and dye one day.
No. I happened to actually find one stray ranger hair in my beard this week, and I just went, no, this is unacceptable.
On another note, this is Matt, who we actually recorded at our Grampians retreat last year, and his experiences about coming out and into the bear community.
My name is Matt. I'm 30. I'm very happily partnered, so pretty much not available.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Turn back time. A lot of things I wish I could do again.
Where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
On a fire truck.
With a fireman?
Yes.
What's your ideal employment?
Music teacher.
Is that what you're currently doing?
That's what I used to do.
Name one person who you'd like most to have sex with.
I can't name him because I don't know his name, but he's a regular passenger on one of my trains, and I just think he's fantastic.
Your favourite item of clothing?
Got to be my moccasins.
Sexually, what milks your butter?
Facial hair. In the right spot.
Would you date yourself?
Hell no.
Name one thing you couldn't live without.
Oh, the internet.
Do you prefer organisation or chaos?
Organised chaos.
How did you get involved in the bear community?
After going to the Laird once or twice and just really liking the atmosphere there and just discovering that I sort of felt comfortable among the bear community, I just sort of fell into it, I guess. Took it from there.
What do you get out of the bear community from that?
Primarily mates.
Where do you see the bear community going?
I'm very new to the bear community, I suppose, but I'm quite happy with how I see it at the moment. I just enjoy it as a good social atmosphere, good bunch of guys, similarly minded, and as long as it continues in that direction, I'm happy.
Can you describe the first time you went to a gay bar?
It was actually a straight bar on a gay night, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. And I was not out, and I was shitting myself, and I had a really good time. It was good fun.
Anything in particular about the bar that caught your attention?
It's a pub in Bendigo, and they have a gay night once a month. A bunch of mates almost quite literally dragged me in there. Yeah, I didn't really have much of a choice that night.
What are your hobbies?
Music, and more music.
And has that led you to meet any new people from the hobby itself?
Definitely. When I lived in Bendigo, I played music. I played in that many bands. It pretty much wasn't funny. Music was my life. I've met a lot of great people through music. I don't do as much music now as what I used to, but I still have a lot of good friends and have met a lot of people through that.
Thank you very much to Matt, who let us record him during the the Grampians Retreat, which is coming up end of...
It's in November.
October. Yeah.
Oh, Halloween, yes.
Exactly. How did you forget?
We did pumpkin carving on Halloween.
Something we hope to do again this year.
Yes.
Now, Roy, getting back to the actual topic at hand, you
can... Can I just, before you leave the pumpkin carving?
Oh, God.
I started that tradition and I'm so proud to hear that it's still going on. Sorry.
We thought it was our idea. We didn't hear about pumpkin carving in the past. Let's continue.
We did fantastic things. We did zombie pumpkins.
Oh, zombie pumpkins.
Exactly. Now, Roy, getting back on topic. How did you find coming out as gay or coming out as bear? Which was a harder one for you?
The more important one was coming out as a bear, or discovering the whole bear thing. Between coming out as gay and becoming a bear, I used to beat myself up for being too straight to be gay and too gay to be straight. I didn't feel like I fitted in anywhere. So I think the relief that a lot of people find when they come out as a gay person, most of that was really happened for me at the bear coming out, if that makes any sense.
So I suppose you've got to come out to yourself before you start coming out to others.
Absolutely.
So how was it like telling other people?
That I was a bear?
Yeah, it's like, no, you're a human.
No, I don't. I think the people that were around me at the time, the guys that founded Harbour City Bears in Sydney, I was already in touch with. The guys who became the nucleus of Vic Bears, which were, you know, a group of people who met on the #GayBears IRC channel back in the day. Ask your parents what IRC was, okay?
Apparently, it's the same era as the wax cylinder.
Yeah, it was a bit like that.
Music.
But if you were to look over the people that were involved in #GayBears, you'd see the names littered through Vic Bears history: Barry Taylor, myself, Gavin Rainey, who was our treasurer, secretary in the early days, even Rick Cooper, the current president, was part of that group. So that nucleus really became Vic Bears in the early days.
I suppose one thing that's changed quite a bit since the days of old IRC chat rooms is that not only has the bear community become a lot more visible within queer cultures, but also within the wider culture, that they say that something stops being a joke when Seth MacFarlane brings it up on Family Guy. And we were actually brought up on an episode of American Dad not too long ago, which was pretty cool.
There's definitely a mainstreaming of the whole bear concept.
It's just catching on like wildfire, baby.
It is.
But you've also got things like magazines. I mean, you don't even need to go to a queer bookstore anymore. Anywhere where you've got an internet connection, you can look up the Wikipedia. And then that tends to be a way which younger people are finding the bear community these days. That it's not necessarily in the bars. It's not necessarily at bookstores. It's Wikipedia.
Hey, I'm just more impressed with the fact that they have more bear porn out there. That pleases me innumerably.
We have to go down that path again, so I'm going to cut you off.
This is the Cubby House Live.
Now, we do have some SMSs that have come in, and a particularly interesting one. Kevin, would you care to read it out?
Bring it up on the screen.
Let's have a look. I'll see if I can make sense. I'm a young guy, 35. The last two times I've gone out to the lead, no one came near me. As I was leaving, two older guys said to me, "Are you straight? Don't you know this is a gay club?" His response was, "I am gay, and they said you should talk to people and have fun. The problem is, I'm shy, and I don't know how to say hi."
So what do you do when nobody comes to speak to you?
I've always made a point of, at least, you're going up to the bar to order a drink. So you're having some initial interaction with the barman. If you get, you know, a few more words in, you might actually be able to get some sort of direction as to who might be interesting to talk to, who might be open enough to kind of start up a conversation with. It is true, not all people who come to the lead, in my experience, have always had the fun and interactive interaction with people, but Kevin?
Personally, I find it very easy to go to the lead on a theme night, Because if you go to a theme night where you know people are into the same things as you, you're more likely to be able to strike up a conversation with someone because they're doing something that you like. For instance, we had Paw Play, and it was fantastic to see the variety of people that actually went, and you could just start talking to anyone about, you know, whatever game you were playing, etc. From then it goes on to whatever you need to.
Now, one of the issues that we didn't necessarily have a lot of time to cover in this particular episode of growing up, growing older, and generational change is not necessarily about what of the younger people which are coming in, but what necessarily of the older people who are sticking around or people that are moving on. Unfortunately, we don't necessarily have enough time for that one. So in 2 weeks' time, we'll be doing an episode called What's the Deal with Daddies? I'm looking forward to that one. But moving on with our show, I actually did an interview with two cubs. One of them was from Melbourne, and the other one was from Queensland. Tom Clearahan and Kieran Munn, sharing their perspectives of being a young person within the bear community.
Okay, name's Kieran. I'm a Queensland cub.
I'm Tom from Melbourne's West, recently moved over from Perth, and would consider myself more of a chaser than anything else.
So, how old were both of you when you found out about the bear subculture?
Okay, well, I was about 20, 21. Yeah, I found out about the bear culture pretty early on, after coming out.
I kind of stumbled onto it due to my browsing habits, just looking at porn when I was about 14 or 15, and the guys that I was most interested in were often being labelled bears, which led me to sort of Google what a bear is, and that kind of led me onto the whole thing. Probably because of the way I sort of stumbled onto it, I thought it was more of a club for hot guys than anything else, but as I delved deeper, it sort of turned out to be a really nice community of down-to-earth sort of guys that like men.
Who are also very hot as well.
Just, you know, that's a nice little side thing.
Yeah.
There.
So do you think that age is important when it comes to the bear community?
A lot of people kind of help age define where you sit in the bear community and as to what you can be labelled as. I mean, one of those kind of unspoken rules that I've kind of heard is that as soon as you turn 30, you're no longer a cub, you've matured and blossomed into a big, beautiful bear.
It's kind of funny what you were saying, Kieran, how you sort of automatically level up into a bear at 30, whereas I sort of see, you know, in my opinion of bears and cubs, it's not so much how old you are as how you look.
So do you feel as though there is an age gap between the younger and the older people?
Not a big one, certainly less than the rest of the sort of community at large. Even outside of the gay community, you don't get as much interaction across age barriers there as I sort of tend to see in the bear scene.
It's a little bit different. I mean, I've been to a few of the bear communities. I mean, I've been to Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane now, and the Sydney one is quite diverse. The group itself is quite young up to old, and the same can be said of Melbourne, whereas Brisbane, not so much. I'm probably one of the younger ones there, and out of all the groups there is a bit of a kind of an age gap between the young and the old, which can be a bit problematic, and I think, you know, Brisbane requires a bit more young blood. As years go by, we're going to need some more younger volunteers and younger members to help keep the club going.
So how would you describe the way that the younger and the older members interact with each other?
I'd just say they mostly sort of treat each other as equals, as though age isn't a big deal, which is sort of one of the great things about the bear community, is that they can look past a lot of superficial differences like that and sort of look at what's on the inside.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you do generally tend to get along with the older generations, and the fact that there's a lot to learn from the older bears, and it's something that you got to try and take hold with both hands and just listen and learn. So, yeah.
So what do you feel that younger people can contribute to the bear community?
There are a lot of youthful energies, and the fact that, you know, we're young, we're not as jaded, we have new ideas and we want to work upon the old ideas and put a new spin on it, basically, make it seem fresh again.
I guess just a range of different perspectives, regardless of whether it's coming from young and old or wherever it's coming from, will always benefit a group like that. You know, many hands make light work.
So what do you think that the younger people could possibly learn from the older people?
Just about everything. Like when you're straight, you've got, you know, media and family and everything that sort of shows you how to live your life, but gay kids don't have anything like that. So they sort of rely on, you know, older gay friends to kind of be role models and that sort of thing, which, you know, everyone needs.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I will agree with you. There's so much we can learn from those who've been through it, who fought for the rights that we now are lucky enough to enjoy. And a lot of them they've lived through it all already, so they know what to expect and they know what you're going to go through. So they can help guide you along the way in which you want to go.
Are there ways that you feel as though that the bear community could be more accessible to younger people?
Maybe by just including more younger people to begin with. So that's kind of like a catch-22, but it seems daunting to young people looking in from the outside, and it's very difficult to take that first step. I think it might be a bit easier if there were sort of more relatable individuals in the community.
Well, that's true. Like I said, I mean, younger bears and younger cubs who basically just discovered the world generally are a lot more nervous because there's a lot of big guys, basically. I mean, they're cuddly as teddy bears, but when you first meet them and you're not really too sure what the bear community is about, it's quite daunting and a bit scary to kind of just take that first step in unless you have a mate. See, I was very lucky. I actually had someone who basically took me by the hand and basically introduced me to everyone. Not everyone is that lucky.
And just smile at someone when they're new and you don't know them. Don't give them that sort of standoffish stare down. It's not a good look.
I can't complain with the way it is now. I mean, it's a great community. It's something that I wouldn't change too much, if at all, because we seem to have met a good plateau upon which we can sustain for a while. I think, you know, we're all getting along as a group. We always generally do, which is a good
thing. I'm the same. I mean, why mess with something that's already going so well? It's just natural that new people will come, old people will go. The body of the bear community anywhere is just going to keep shifting. So, you know, just let things proceed as they are and everything's going to turn out fine, hopefully.
You're on the Cubby House with Jack, Cookie and Kevin. And
with a special guest, by the way.
Yes.
Hello, Roy.
Hey, Jack.
We've got 3 minutes left in the program, so let's make it our 3 minutes of power. Go! Whoa!
No more V for you, Jack.
We've been talking about changes in the bear community, and Roy, would you have any closing comments as to where you think the bears might be heading from here, from what you've seen so far?
I think the future's still fairly bright. I am incredibly proud of what we achieved at Vic Bears during my time and still proud of the group as it continues on into the future. But with all things like this, it may have a use-by date. We may get to a level of acceptance where the community's not as far required anymore.
Ah, it's amazing what people say when you hold them at knife point. They're so positive.
No knives or vilifications being used in the production of this show.
That's right. We just want to thank all our guests that were on the show today. Jean Bernard, Roy, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun, guys.
You're spunkier than ever now that I've heard you talk next to me.
Thank you, Jack.
Tom Clearan and Kieran Munn, thank you very much for all your time.
Thank you.
Now, we've got a show coming up to next week, not
tomorrow. Next week, Jack.
Next week. We need time to plan. And it's a show called Stories of Making Love and War. Generally, love and war are two different things, but next week, they're one and the same. Where it's an ambivalent show.
Also, don't forget to visit cubbyhouse.livejournal.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecubbyhouse, for regular updates. And don't forget to like us.
Yes, now, you like us, I like us.
Just so people know, all these shows that we have been recording, as well as our own podcast that we've done for the last 2 years, are up on those blogs. And if you'd like to check out any of them, including last week's show, which we explain what is a bear, you can check them out at thecubbyhouse.livejournal.com. From the Cubby House this week, this is Cookie.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Kevin.
Stay tuned for the Eurovision show right after us.
Joy
94.9. This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.